Assalamu alaikum. That is peace be unto you. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to Allah that is God, Lord of all the worlds. We seek Him for assistance. We turn to Him, asking His forgiveness and His mercy on us. And we praise Him and pray the choicest blessings upon His servant, the universal messenger, Prophet Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed. Peace and the blessings be on Him and on His descendants and the companions of the Prophet. All, and upon us be peace. I thank Allah for this day, for giving us an opportunity to meet here in Detroit, Michigan, at this facility, Cobo Hall. I thank Allah for the efforts of Imam Dawood Aleem and for the efforts of the resident Imam here, and also for the efforts of those who backed and supported them in direct cooperation with them or otherwise. We are to be congratulated, those who have come here from distances far. I met a very good brother and Muslim who has long standing as Muslim among us, Brother Shams Dean, businessman from Atlanta, Georgia. I met the assistant to Imam Kamaluddin of Houston, and who's also a chaplain in the prison system out there in Texas. I met him here. I've seen Muslims from the far west, from the south, and we all are to be congratulated. Those who came from nearby places, Chicago, that is not far from here, and even from the state of Michigan itself, and even from Detroit itself, those who walk 10 blocks to come here, they are to be congratulated. Because it is clear to everybody that we don't have any quick worldly excitement to offer you. We are not inviting you here to get rich in the ways of the world. We are not inviting you here to have fun in the ways of the world. This is not the usual kind of gathering, and the agenda, what we will be talking about today, it's not the kind of concern or topic that the masses of people come to hear or rally around. So you are to be congratulated. It must be understood that people still believe in an authority and a power above them. That people still believe in Allah. It must be understood that people still seek to know better what Allah wants for them. There are people still interested in religion. There are people still willing to pay money, to travel far, to separate from their attachments, together under the voice of call to faith. Many times I've been met upon coming to a city by the press, and the question most often asked, what brings you here, Imam Muhammad? If I was a great singer, or a great dancer, or a great actor, no one would ask me what brings me here. At this point, I want to read a few words from our holy book. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alif Lam Ra. كتاب أنزلناه إليك لتخرج الناس من الظلمات إلى النور بإذن ربهم إلى صراط العزيز الحميد. الله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض In the name of Allah, the gracious, the merciful, Alif Lam Ra. This is a book sent down to you, O Muhammad, that you may bring mankind out of the dark into the light with the permission of their Lord to the path of the one who's mighty and dear and worthy of all praise. Allah, that is. For him is whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. I also would like to bring to you the words of our Prophet, peace and the blessings be on him, who said, advising or answering a question for one who was seeking to be advised or to be informed by Muhammad the Prophet as to what the Prophet could give him that no one else could give him. And the Prophet, in his reply to him, said, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. Say, I have faith in Allah, and thereafter be upright. In order that Muslims be not victims of lies, it is necessary for us to meet in great numbers from many places where we reside in America to hear, if not me, someone who's sincere and strong enough to tell the truth. To tell the truth about our religion. We have many claiming to be leaders in this religion, but we have very few with the courage to tell the truth about this religion. Too many in the leadership that presents itself as Muslim leadership are really imposters working for enemies of this religion. If we who sincerely believe in the Quran, our holy book, which is a universal book, it's not the book just for us in America, it's the book for all of us throughout the world. It didn't come by our doings here in America. It was 1,000 years old when we were brought to America, this book that I'm talking about. If the sincere and the strong among the Muslims will not assert themselves to represent this religion as it should be represented, then we have nothing. We have nothing. It is enough to justify our time and money and efforts that we've made to be here today. If we are Muslims, it is enough that we clear the air as to what is truly Muslim and what is not. If we accomplish no more than that, then it justifies the time and the money and the efforts we've made or spent. We must understand that we are a minority religious group in America, and a very small minority group in America. We must understand that we belong to a religion that had enemies from the very first day of its pronouncement on this earth. Our Prophet, peace and blessing be on him, was a native son of Mecca, on the peninsula now called Saudi Arabia, and was also a son of the most respected tribe of the Arabs, the tribe called Quraysh. But that did not prevent him from having enemies. When he began to preach what Allah had revealed to him as a last message for all the world, he very soon found strong, very avowed enemies from among his own relatives. Two of his worst enemies were his uncles, Abu Lahab, Abu Jahl. The people he found himself among had known him to be honest and honorable. They called him the trustworthy one. That was the name that the people gave him. El Amin, they called him. El Amin, the trustworthy one. However, the same people that had called him the trustworthy one and who had really come to him as though he was the bank for their country and deposit with him their valuables so they could take a trip safely and return knowing their valuables would be there when they got back, that same man that they so regarded, so highly regarded, became the greatest trouble for them because they were not willing to say, Amantu billahi thumma istaqim. They were not willing to say, I have believed in God and I chose to be upright. If I have a problem with people today, it is because I follow in the tradition of that great man, Muhammad, the universal prophet. And there be people today who won't like me because I say, believe first in God and thereafter be upright. But that doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me at all. In fact, it makes me happy to know that God has blessed me to be a trouble in the midst of disbelievers. It is a blessing to be a trouble in the midst of disbelievers. They should be troubled. And I wish I was better in my life and conduct so I could trouble them more. We have to be aware that we are a small minority in America. The majority of the people belong to some other religion. And that the same foes, the same enemies of Islam, the same enemies of the Prophet, are here on earth today and are as determined today as they were then to deny this religion a life and a presence on this earth. And we have to be then as committed to this mission, as strong in our position, as willing to sacrifice our time, our money, and even our life if we must, for this religion, if we are truly Muslims. I thank Allah that the situation is not as difficult for us today as it was for our Prophet and his companions. We live in a time and among a people who claim to be civilized, claim to be democratic, they claim to be liberal, they claim to accept even our religion as a legitimate religion that should not be persecuted but should be welcomed in the land, homeland of man. A religion that President Madison and other presidents of the United States have given words of recognition for, our religion, al-Islam. A religion that the recent president, Jimmy Carter, publicly pay tribute to our religion, Al-Islam. But you must understand that even though this country is committed to respect the great established religions, the situation for us as religious people, as Muslims, is no different than the situation for the American Indians or for many other minorities in this country who have their rights protected in law, but their rights taken away from them by the ungodly, not only in the public, but in government quarters. They are working hard to deny this religion life, pleasant presence, and a future on this earth. If I had a wife, that men were jealous of, or jealous of me because of her, a wife that other men wanted, it would make me appreciate her even more, as long as she wasn't being affected. If I had a wife that people were attacking or working secretly to discredit, and I knew myself that she was a fine wife, a good wife, a treasure to be valued, it would make me all the much more committed to that wife. It would make me stronger in my love for her and stronger in my determination to stick by her. I think I have such a wife in Shirley. And also, I truly believe that this religious community life is of that value to us. And that there are devilish people working quietly and secretly all the time to hurt the Muslim community, to discredit the Muslim community, to weaken your admiration for the Muslim community, to make you fear, to put your faith in the future of the Muslim community. Oh, they are working so hard. They are working hard, day and night. Our crowd would be much smaller here today if they weren't here. You're here, but they're also here. They have to be here, because they always want to be the closest ones, closest to what's going on, so they can be in the best position to hurt what we are all about. But thank Allah again, I say, that there are times and the situation is not as bad for us as it was for our Prophet, peace and the blessings be on him and his companions, may God be pleased with them, We are in a situation now in America where it is against the law to do the things that those heathens did against Muhammad. It is against the law. They cannot openly come out against Al-Islam in America today as the enemies came out against Al-Islam in the day of our Prophet, peace and the blessing be on him. They can't do it because it's against the law of the country. But that doesn't mean that they are not as decided and not as bent upon doing it. They're just as decided. They're just as bent upon hurting this religion as those enemies were back then. But the time and the law is against them. So they have to meet in secret and say, last behind closed doors, and say, you know, we say all religion, but we're not going to give that religion no chance. Make sure you got somebody to watch every true believer. And let us know when any is getting serious about his religion so we can plan against them. I recall the Honorable Elijah Muhammad being supported by many that he called devils. Some of them were in government offices. But they admired the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They wished him well. But I recall also that there were those who were quiet. They didn't come out against him. They didn't come out for him. They were very quiet. They were silent. But they would use their power and their influences to limit the effect of his works, to make sure that his positive good works would always be in a situation where they could end it at any time they chose. I recall when he had would have his big conventions, yearly Savior's Day conventions, that they would always put something in the news to hurt the spirit of his followers or to frighten them away from the meeting place. They use the threats of retaliation for Malcolm's death. Somebody's going to get Elijah Muhammad. Or if it wasn't that, they would associate the Nation of Islam with the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan, and give it such an ugly, ugly name and ugly image that they felt sure that hardly any of the normal good citizens of the country would respond to his call and come to his meeting. They would bring out their strongest influences at the time when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is getting ready for his great yearly mass meeting. But it didn't stop people from coming to hear the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Many would stop, yes, but there were still enough numbers to fill most of the facilities that were secured for that purpose. Today, they are surprised, they are amazed that we still have activities. They thought with the death of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we would be so taken that we wouldn't have an interest in meeting anymore. They thought the few diehard fanatics that would be left around would be easily manipulated and sent to their destruction. But instead of what they expected happening, the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad came up in his spirit of determination, in his spirit of faith and determination, and having sat down a single day since the Honorable Elijah Muhammad rested. They are amazed. Someone has to keep standing up. Someone has to keep coming before you. Someone has to tell the truth about our religion. Because we are in a society, we are in a country that have many, many persecutors who live just to persecute the righteous, who live just to persecute Al-Islam. But again, you have to remember that in this day and time and in this situation, under the law of the United States, a civilized law, a democratic law, they cannot come out openly against us. So they have to recruit the weak bastards among us and the weak bitches among us for their job, for their work. And they've always been able to find the weak ones among us. They were able to find the weak ones among us when Gandhi was preaching his message of unity, of dignity, of self-determination for the African-American people. They were able to find weak ones to carry out that dirty work. And they're able to find weak ones now. So don't think that we are not progressing because of our own situation. We are not progressing mainly because of the situation that the devils create for us. It's amazing that we have the support that we do have today from the believers here, right here. It's amazing. Because they are so sophisticated now in fighting the influence of righteousness. They're so sophisticated in fighting the influence of Al-Islam that we are being bombarded and are not even aware. They always manage to stage some other event close by us around the time when we are meeting to draw attention away from us to something else. They have made the people so dependent upon media leadership that people don't hardly respond to any call or anything of a public nature without the media not only announcing it, but supporting it and promoting it. We used to be a people that didn't depend upon so much outside help for what we were about. I'm talking about true freedom fighters. I'm talking about nationalists, the African-American nationalists. I'm talking about people who wanted something for themselves and wanted to do something on their own to get it. In the past, we were not without a spirit to move on our own, as we are today. Today, most of the American people don't have a spirit to move on their own. They don't move unless media move them. It's the entertainment media, or news media. They need some media to move them. They don't move on their own anymore. As powerful as some of these entertainment figures are, they cannot get big audiences without the media. They have to have the media to get big audience. Now, we think that we're going to get a big audience without the power of the media on our side. The only way we get big audience without the power of the media on our side, we have to go back to the spirit that we had before big media became the slave master. We have to go back depending upon ourselves to carry the word, to impress the brother, to impress the sister, to impress the neighbor, to alert the community that something great is happening here. But all of us waiting, because we have been conditioned to depend upon big media to arrange our affairs and guarantee us an audience. The imam knows the power of the media. He knows the power of the media. He knows the importance of the media. Imam Aleem, Daoud Aleem. So he went and he made sure that we had some time on some stations. But look how small the influence of those stations is. Those stations are not popular. He couldn't get on prime time on a major network. No. In order to get on there, you had to kill somebody in a savage way. Or commit some horrible, perverted act. Or represent something very gross and outrageous. And then they'll flash you on, the spokesman for the black man. Knowing what we have to deal with shouldn't make us weaker in our commitment to be Muslims and to propagate our life. It should make us stronger. There are some strong among us, but there are so few. So few. We have to bring the truth to the people and tell them that this religion is not an unpopular religion. There's a quiet work going on, been going on all the time, going on now, to make the American people think, and all other citizens of the world think, that our religion is an unpopular religion. They tried hard until I pushed the truth to the forefront in this country. With the help of God, it was my own efforts that pushed the truth to the forefront here in this country, that this religion is not the religion of black nationalists of America. This is the religion of man all over the world. This is not a black religion. This is a religion for all colors. They had contained the productive good in the works of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, so that it wouldn't spread and reach the many lives of our people. But they had also published the Nation of Islam so that the American people would think that all Muslims ain't nothing but black people that recently were converted from crime life. You have to understand the devilishment. You have to understand the devilishment of the American people. Those hidden devils in the system of life we call America. So we have come here today spending our time and our money, our energy, separating ourselves from other attachments and other commitments. And it's worth the price if we only make it clear that this is not a religion of a special race or a special class of black people. This is a religion for all people on this earth. And its appeal is not limited to ex-convicts or poor blacks disappointed with Christianity. Its appeal has gone out to all people in all classes, all ranks. Doctors, lawyers, government leaders, statesmen, rulers, scientists, embraced this religion hundreds of years ago, 1,000 years ago, and they embrace it today. From the people of Asia, from the people of Africa, from the people of the islands, the Philippines, from the people of Europe, Spain, and now Germany and England. The membership of Muslims is growing fast in those quarters. In Japan, our religion is spreading fast. More than 50% of the people on the continent of Africa are Muslims. Most of the people from our native homeland are Muslims. Al-Islam is the most popular religion on the continent of Africa. And they are not people from criminal backgrounds. They are the leading people, the highest people in the society of those countries. Huh? This is the truth. This is the truth that our enemy hate to hear. Our enemy, he's burning up now. What I'm saying is like sunlight on this Dracula form. He wished badly that he could hurry up and get into his coffin and let the lid down. We have to come out ourselves. We are citizens of this country. We are native citizens of this country. Our sacrifice and contribution and life here in this country goes back as far for us as it does for any other ethnic group or nationalist group here in this country. Whether they come from England or Spanish Spain or from Germany or from Yugoslavia or from Arabia or from Cuba or from Haiti, no matter where they came from, our roots go back as far as theirs, our father. We are native people of this country. Our citizenship didn't need any government legislation. And it's embarrassing to know that we had a civil rights movement to get citizenship. It's embarrassing to know that. So who is best qualified to tell the truth about our religion? It is us. We are the best qualified to tell the truth about our religion. The immigrants were fear maybe deportation. They have a cause to fear greater than our cause. We're in a better situation to defend our right to this religion. It has its right in the law, on the law books. So we now have to tell the truth and make sure that this religion gets the right report, get the right presentation. We are Muslims, and I speak for myself and the sincere Muslims. We have accepted this religion for eternity. We didn't accept this religion as a fad. It's not just some passing thing for us. I have had enough time in my life to seriously think about this religion, to seriously weigh the merits of this religion. And I'm not a fool. I got a GED diploma